OTC is go.
Thank you, this is go.
ETC is go.
Copy, this is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot. Diane Sorey over there at the Patriot Factor. It's Tuesday night, 6th of September already. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig. And how are you?
Well, I'm good, but you're having some weird storms there, huh?
Yeah, I'm having some storms that kind of messed up our website for a little bit.
Well, it's because you don't drink the decaf.
It's basically because when I was updating the Dan Bongino video for tomorrow,
yeah,
all of a sudden, you know, it was quiet, and out of nowhere came this giant clap of thunder. It scared me. My hand moved over a millimeter, and the whole thing got canceled.
Yeah, you're so too high strung.
Now I have to have my tech person put Dan back in.
Well, tomorrow. You know, stuff happens.
Yeah.
Stuff happens. I mean, you know, those claps of thunder like that, when it's one of those that hits right close to where you are,
yes,
that will get your attention.
Absolutely. And that's basically what happened.
Well,
and what a mess, though, because I was just about done with the whole site for tomorrow, the last thing.
Right. Well, look, at least it happened on the last thing.
That's true.
You know, it could have been worse.
True. But you know what the problem is? It's not that I don't know how to restore the widget. It's that WordPress changed something. So the way that I was taught to put them in and code them in, that's still the same. But they did away with their add widget button.
Well, see, they got, you know, people in that profession, they have to keep doing something all the time. Otherwise, they can't justify their own existence.
That's very true.
I mean, I swear to God, that's what it is, because everything works and then they switch it up.
Right. And the only reason they switch it off is because how else will they get paid?
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Oh, we've got a great idea. Let's do this.
Yeah. Yeah. In the meantime, the techno stupid people like me and you.
And me.
When we learn how to do something, and I got one up on you because I do know how to code all that stuff in. It's great that I know how to code it. And I know where to put it. And I know how to lock it in. But when you don't have the add new widget button, like the old ones used to be very simple, then what do?
You call the IT specialist.
Yep.
That's what you do?
That's what I did.
All right.
But he won't get to me till tomorrow.
Well, you know, he's sorry, got Dan. Things. He's got things going on.
Yeah, sorry, Dan.
You know, it just happens. You know, that's just the way it is. We've got a big show planned for you tonight. Diane, you're covering from Mar-a-Lago to debts canceled, obsession personified.
Yes. The two things that seem to have Biden totally hung up at this point, in addition to the new one, which I will cover next week, where we MAGA Republicans are enemies of democracy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, we're not a democracy, Biden. I guess you failed history 101.
Well, even if he didn't, he wouldn't remember it now.
That's true.
He can't remember his shoes. I mean,
can't remember his own name.
I'm covering Gaslighting America Part 1, and that means next week there will be a Part 2.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that's what we got coming up in the major segments tonight. But let's start with some quick hitters, and we start tonight with Bank of America, because they are sounding the alarms, they're blowing the whistles, they're flashing the lights, they're waving red flags, and all of it is because of what the Fed is primed and ready to do, which is jack up the interest rates again.
Right. And what that will do is actually slow the economy, which is, not a good thing. Except there's a little caveat here. Higher hiking interest rates does tend to create higher consumer and business loan rates, which is good for, the banks and all that, which in turn slows the economy by forcing employees and we regular people to cut back on spending. And when you think about it, mortgage rates, Craig, have nearly doubled in one year. Since Biden, took office.
Well, and they're talking about another big hike, and it's expected to come just about any time. And when and it doesn't sound like much, okay? On paper, it doesn't sound like much, but it has a huge ripple effect when you do that. So they're talking about loans slowing down. As the rates go up, people are not as likely maybe to buy a new car, or maybe buy a new house or invest in a business or, so it's going to hurt small business people. And when those people get hurt, it hurts the employees.
Right.
And they're also talking that this next hike is going to have a pretty dire effect on the stock market. And folks, don't think if you don't have money in the stock market, that doesn't affect you, because it does.
Oh, everything that goes on in the stock market affects us, because the stock market is one of the biggest drivers of the American economy. But what people need to understand, while higher interest rates do slow growth, and it becomes a softer labor market, together, that actually brings down inflation. However, causes a lot of pain to, consumers, households, and businesses. And, what they're trying to justify is that no matter the problems it's going to cost the regular person, it will reduce inflation.
Right. Because
they need to restore basically price stability, meaning keeping prices at a status quo, not going up, not going down. And that in turn, they feel, will reduce inflation. And in the past, it has. But we've never been in this situation we're in right now, with a president actually making everything worse.
Well, here's an easy way to look at it. If the cost of living goes up, the standard of living goes down.
Right.
And if people's mortgage rates are going to go up, if the cost of borrowing money for a business or for a personal loan is going to go up, then everybody that is connected to those businesses, their standard of living is going to go down.
Yes. And the stock market went way down again today. And, it affects me personally, but it affects everybody.
Well, if you've got a 401k, you're getting screwed.
Yeah. Any kind of retirement plan whatsoever, you're getting screwed. It's an across-the-board screwing, folks.
Well, and you know, we had jobs numbers that came out last week, and of course, you know, the regime, they're all happy about the jobs numbers, but those jobs numbers do not reflect reality. They're, you know, if you look at them just as numbers, then okay, it looks like we added a lot of jobs. Okay, but the problem is the unemployment rate is going up because, yeah, you know, or actually, let me put it this way. The unemployment rate by the numbers is actually going down. Okay. But that's because fewer and fewer people are looking for work. They're simply dropping out of the jobs market.
And some people are working two and three jobs, one person.
Right. Well, they used to work one really good paying job. Now they're working two, maybe three to make the same amount of money. But that same amount of money doesn't go as far because of inflation. So they're still behind the curve.
Right. We're screwed no matter what. And the only thing that's going to stop it is November 8th. We have got to take back, especially in this case, the House, because that's where our spending originates.
Well, and funny you mention the House, because Nancy Pelosi, dear, sweet, lovable, old, decrepit Nancy Pelosi, she's got a whole new job in mind if she loses the speakership, which she very well could and probably will. And now, for the time being, it would be Biden that would appoint her to this new position, but it would probably be short-lived if Republicans take over the White House in 2024. Diane, tell folks what Nancy Pelosi wants to do next.
She wants to become, based on her name, the U.S. ambassador to Italy. Heaven help Italy.
Don't we like Italy? We do like Italy, right?
Hey, their food is my favorite in the world.
You know, so why would we send her over there and piss them off?
Yeah, well, you know, she might have a little bit of a hard time with that because in February, it was reported that a man by the name of Stephen Robert, a former Wall Street executive, would be the nominee. But no announcement regarding this has come yet because Joe Biden and crew are still in denial that they're going to lose the House.
Wow. Wow. I mean, it's interesting. First of all, Nancy Pelosi, as far as I know, doesn't speak Italian. And the Italians, as far as I know, don't speak drunk gibberish. So
yeah, that's true.
But now, are the drunk driving laws, are they more relaxed over there than they are over here? Maybe this is a move to get Polly off the hook.
I don't think they are, actually, because remember, Italy is a very devout Catholic country.
Right.
And they kind of shy away from drunks. Yes, they drink wine with dinner. But there's a big difference between drinking wine and being a Pelosi-style drunk.
Well, you know, well, you're right about that. But Polly got drunk when he was driving in Napa Valley, which is wine country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. Look, the woman is in her 80s. It's time for her to step out of politics, step out of the political light, and get her husband into rehab, and while she's at it, join him as well.
Right, maybe they get a couple special.
Yeah, could be.
Two for one. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, when I saw that today, I just thought, really? She wants to be the ambassador to Italy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, you know what this is based on? In July, she spent 2 weeks in Italy at a very ritzy beach club in Forte di Marmi. And that's where all this talk of her becoming a U.S. ambassador to Italy really started, you know, hitting the news feed, so to speak. It's just wrong. The woman, and it's not age discrimination, because there are 80-year-olds who have their full capacities. But have you heard Pelosi speak recently? She's not Biden, but she's not coherent either.
No, and wouldn't the Roman Catholics be happy with her pro-abortion stance in Italy?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I don't believe it'll happen. I mean, there were so many good people that could be ambassador to Italy. I mean, Italy is our ally after all. But you know what? With Biden as president, he's not trying to keep our allies. No. So who knows?
I mean, top of my list for ambassador to Italy over her. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this, bear in mind, this list has A, no basis in reality, and you only have to be better than Pelosi to be on my list. And at the top of that list is Chef Boyardee.
How about Marie Callender?
Well, yeah, or you know, the assistant manager at Olive Garden. I mean, all those people would have know more about Italy than she would.
I'm just saying.
San Francisco has a school district there, and this apparently is starting to branch out. It's not just San Fran Freak Show, but this is starting to branch out in the state of California. But there's one district, particularly in Nancy Pelosi's area, San Francisco, that is trying to convince parents to rent a room to teachers because the teachers can't afford housing.
Well, you know, that's just too damn bad, because in that area, they're not teaching, they're indoctrinating.
Well, how would you like to be a parent and have the indoctrinator living in your house?
I wouldn't. It would never happen in my house, that's for sure.
You know, now, the way I look at it, and you see it all over San Francisco, the homeless problem isn't a problem to the people in San Francisco, to the hierarchy in San Francisco. They're not trying to do anything about it. The mayor of San Francisco isn't trying to do anything about it. Now, if these teachers can't afford housing, why don't they just get a tent and go sit in the park?
Well, you know, another problem is the people, you know, you might hear somebody off and on complaining about it. But is anybody doing anything about it? There is such thing as grassroots movements.
Well, it's true. You're right about that. But, I mean, I'm kind of focusing on the teachers here, because that's kind of where this particular issue is coming home to roost. What are the teachers' unions doing? Now, the teachers' unions, they're spending all sorts of money on social issues. They're pushing these gender studies and CRT and Common Core and all this crap, and they're spending boatloads of money on that. Why don't they spend some of that money on teacher salaries?
Because that would take away from the union hierarchy's salaries.
Okay, I got another idea. You're right. You're absolutely right, but I'm full of something, but I'm full of ideas tonight. Okay, here's another idea.
Okay.
I have not seen a school district yet that is not top-heavy with administration. Why not cut a bunch of the administrators, the gender studies counselors, and those people? Why not get rid of them and put that money towards teacher salaries? I mean, I can think of a lot of things they could do, but they won't.
Well, the problem is, first of all, you've got to clear out the indoctrinators. Those are not teachers. They have to clear them out, even if it means cutting teachers who are not teachers. I think the whole teaching system in this country, thanks to this woke gender nonsense, I think it needs a drastic overhaul. School is supposed to be about, as the old saying goes, reading, writing, arithmetic, and science. With, you know, history, of course.
Right.
On it.
Well,
that's not what's being taught anymore.
No, and that's a huge problem, but we're talking about San Fran Freak Show here. How many teachers in all of San Francisco do you think are not amongst the woke or the screaming liberals?
Very few.
All right, so if you're going to cut the teachers in San Francisco and get rid of all the indoctrinators, what do you got left?
A chance to hire real teachers.
But it's San Fran Freak Show. They won't do it.
With a clean slate.
Hey, yeah, but they won't do it. They'll just hire more of the same. You know, the problem is not necessarily the housing market in San Francisco. Yeah, I mean, I know it's expensive. Okay, living in San Francisco is not like living in North Central Nebraska.
Okay.
I get that. But at the same time, your teachers' unions are supposed to be looking out for the teachers so that they're earning a living salary and a pretty good one, and they're not doing that. The school districts are supposed to be looking for ways to retain teachers, and part of the way you do that is cut the unnecessary crap and take the money from that and put it towards teacher salaries, and they're not doing that.
No.
You know, so now they expect parents to rent a room in their house to a teacher?
Any parent in this situation that does something like that is just aiding the problem. There are solutions, like you said, but renting out rooms is not the solution.
No, and you know, look, what I see happening with this, it's starting in San Francisco, and it's going to become standard fare in every blue city and every blue state in the country by the end of this school year.
Mm-hmm. No, this kind of nonsense needs to stop. San Francisco, it needs an overhaul, a complete overhaul. It really does. The city is a mess. It's now become a pigsty, but the problem is, Craig, when you think about it, and I don't mean this for every single person who lives in San Francisco. The problem is the people of San Francisco, because these are the people that keep electing people like Nancy Pelosi as their representative.
Absolutely.
So the fault lies with the people.
Absolutely. And eventually, somebody, some lucky parent, is going to wind up having or renting a room out to a teacher who's teaching their child economics, and that's the problem. The teachers don't understand economics, or they wouldn't be looking for a room to rent.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the education system needs to go back to the way it was. Now, I can say here in my state of Florida, there's none of that crap. There's no wokeism. There's no critical race theory. DeSantis has totally gotten that out. And our kids' scores, thankfully, are starting to go up.
Good. That's the way it ought to be. Everywhere.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's other states, but the one who seems to grab all the headlines is my state of Florida, because we are the free state of Florida.
That's right. And that makes a difference. Finally, in the quick hitters tonight, we've got kind of a sad story, and it's one that'll just kind of light your hair on fire. You know, this mother that's been missing, the jogger in Tennessee, her body was found. They have arrested a suspect in this, and it's pretty clear cut. You know, the evidence that we know of, anyway, so far, it's pretty clear-cut they got the right guy.
It's very clear-cut. Her name was Eliza Fletcher. She is an heiress to a multi-billion-dollar fortune, apparently. She was 34 years old. She was a teacher, and she had two children, and she was abducted in Memphis during an early morning jog. Now, what the problem was, what the thing about this is, he is guilty. There was evidence, his shoes, clothing, whatever, were all found in the area. The problem is this man, and it's a black man, folks, He is a repeat offender. He has been arrested before and let out.
Well, and get this. If you go back 22 years, he was arrested for kidnapping. All right. And there was a laundry list of charges that went along with that. He's also been arrested for several other things when he was a kid, when he was below the age of 18.
Right.
Right. But even recently, the day before he abducted Miss Fletcher and killed her, he was caught stealing a woman's wallet.
Right.
The day before.
Right. This is absolutely ridiculous. This is the example of what the Democrats have done to our country. Here is a man, a repeat offender. But basically because of the color of his skin, oh, go ahead, you're forgiven. Well, what are they going to do now? This man deserves the death penalty. Not in 20 years from now, but let him have his trial, because everybody's entitled to a trial. But when found guilty, I am a strong believer, if you are found guilty, you get one appeal, because that's our law. If you fail your appeal within 48 hours, you get the death penalty. That will stop this kind of crap from happening.
You know, when he was a juvenile, he was arrested for assault, aggravated assault with and without a weapon. He was arrested for theft. He was arrested for rape. That kidnapping of an assistant district attorney, of all people. You know, this guy's record goes on and on. In 2020, he was let out of prison after serving 24 years on the kidnapping charge. And like I said, the day before, you know, he grabbed and killed Eliza Fletcher. He was arrested again. Back on the street.
Back on the streets. That's what the Democrats have done. It's a revolving door, especially if you're a person of color. I hate to say that, folks, and I do not mean that in a racist alluding at all. I'm not a racist. But if you look at the statistics of those let out through the revolving door, the majority are black.
Well, this is just a sickening and sad deal. You know, it happens in Memphis, Tennessee, and Memphis has become a real hotbed of crime over the last 15, 20 years.
Thanks to the Democrats.
Yeah, and it's too bad because, you know, Memphis is a very historic city.
Absolutely.
It could be a huge, huge tourist draw. People don't feel safe going there anymore, and that's sad.
No. And this woman, she was a teacher at St. Mary's Episcopal School. And like I said, she was actually the granddaughter of billionaire Joseph Orgill III. Did they? And the brother was also arrested with him, not on the murder charges, but possession of a firearm illegally, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
Did they know who they were kidnapping? Maybe, maybe not. That'll come out at trial. But they're not releasing the cause of death yet, so it must be pretty brutal.
I would think. So we'll keep an eye on all of that as that progresses through the courts, and whatever else we find out, we'll bring you up to speed. But folks, we got a couple of big segments coming up a little bit over a half an hour from now. I'm talking about Gaslighting America Part 1. Next week, it'll be part two, but coming back after this bottom of the hour break, Diane's got it. From Mar-a-Lago to debts canceled, obsession personified. Folks, stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's long-time Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. It's Tuesday night, and if you miss any part of it, all you have to do is go to RSPRadio1.com bright and early tomorrow morning, click on the podcast button, we know that's still there, and then you can listen to the show, or you can listen to any one of our shows. It's up to you.
Yes.
All right, Diane, so you have taken on tonight kind of a, I hesitate to call it a twofer because these things really do kind of tie together. From Mar-a-Lago to debts canceled, obsession personified.
Yes. Now let's start by saying obsession comes in many guises. And here are but two recent politically driven examples. If you think the Democrats' obsession with destroying Donald Trump was bad while he was in office, it has, a year and a half after his having left office, morphed into a psychologically driven witch hunt. As his political destruction is on the Democrat hierarchy's minds, 24/7, and shows no sign of abating. And this is became obvious not just with the FBI's recent raid on President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home, but when Joe Biden took pen in hand and reversed almost all of Trump's ever so successful energy, economic, and border policies on his first day in office. And thus Biden's simple attempt to both appease the far left fringe of his party and to garner more votes turned into the passage of out-of-control spending bills that have driven our economy into recession, coupled with wokeness now becoming the politically correct, must-be-accepted new norm. And with rhetoric spewed that Trump is a, quote, danger to our democracy, the Democrats and their Trump-hating allies within the Republican Party continue on in their actions of defaming and dishonoring not only President Trump, but who we, as Americans, are as a nation. Democracy's tenet of mob rule suits their political agenda better than does the truth of us being a constitutional republic. For they know that once elected to power, they're manipulating the masses under the guise of democracy, not only undermines our great republic, but allows them to remain in power under false pretenses. And this can be taken as fact by these words alone. Quote, without the preservation of the records of government and without access to them, you can't have an informed population. And without an informed population, you lack one of the basic tools to preserving democracy, end quote. These are the very words of former acting archivist Trudy Peterson, who recently stated that Trump's current rhetoric regarding the FBI raid on his home is damaging the public perception of the archives. To that I say, no, Mrs. Peterson, it's you who is damaging the archives. For your job is not to preserve democracy, but to preserve our republic. And if those at the NARA do not know that simple fact, that our beloved America is even in worse shape than we thought. So while the verbal attacks on President Trump, our U.S. Constitution, as well as on we who support him, escalate by the day, know these attacks will surely get worse the nearer we get to the midterm elections. And Craig, it's because the Democrats know that the midterm will be but a dire foreboding of what 2024 will become.
Well, and I think people probably need to be aware, if they're not already, that this is more than just a war of words. This is more than rhetoric. I mean, you know, pushing and shoving, you know, at the microphone is one thing, but this isn't just a verbal assault.
No.
This is more of a realistic thing, right?
Absolutely. And with fear and panic now being the Democrats' driving force, a private army of sorts has been assembled to be used against President Trump and against we the people if need be. And with the now weaponized DOJ acting as field commanders, FBI agents, being their soldiers in the field, are now carrying out the orders of the man behind it all, the man who sits and waits in the shadows, counting the days until his hoped-for triumphant return, a private army assembled by Barack Hussein Obama himself, the man behind it all. You know it, I know it, and he doesn't care that we do. And it's now all happening, in my opinion, as but payback for his having to wait out a fool who was destroying what should be, in Obama's mind, his true de facto third term in office. That was destroyed courtesy of Hillary Rodham Clinton's loss to President Trump back in 2016. President Trump has been Obama's target since the day he and Melania descended the golden escalator, for Obama knew his days were numbered as Hillary came with baggage too insurmountable to overcome. Better to sit and wait in the shadows and let cleverly orchestrated and maliciously calculated diversions unfold. Better to wait out 8 years while putting all the pieces in place to take down the very man you blame for your fundamental transformation of America not unfolding as planned. And so obsession became part of that plan, for obsession is but focused to the nth degree. In the case of Trump, mass psychosis on steroids, if you will. Focus unwavering, as it must be, if one is to be successful in not just destroying a man's political career, but in destroying the very essence of the man himself. And not only does Obama have the monetary means to carry this out via his pocketbook, George Soros, but Obama has those still loyal to him, deeply embedded within the DOJ, the FBI, and the White House itself. And in regards to the White House, I believe that embedded is none other than the infamous Susan Rice, Obama's former national security advisor and Joe Biden's current head of the White House Domestic Policy Council. Susan Rice, a woman whose loyalty to Obama is unwavering, and who, in my opinion, probably was the driving force behind the DOJ's redaction fest, as per the recently released Mar-a-Lago raid affidavit. And when one accepts all the above mentioned as fact, Joe Biden actually does become a non-entity in the scope of the master plan. For when one is perceived to be a fool by those who really run the show, chances are one is really a fool. Craig, a fool, now being but a diversion while others carry out the orders of the true man in charge.
Well, and luckily President Trump isn't going at this thing with his eyes tightly shut. Mm-mm. I mean, you know, Trump has got to be pretty aware of what's going on and who's behind it. isn't he?
Right. Yeah. President Trump knows well that Obama is behind all the anger, the hate, and especially the quest for revenge, as well as he knows that the raid on his house was both a mission to gather up whatever evidence Obama and crew could use against him to stop him from running in 2024, and most decidedly to search and seize any evidence that Trump could use against them all. And if no evidence could be found against him, Trump knows such evidence would be planted, for those out on a mission to destroy a man and a country will fabricate evidence if need be. President Trump stopped Obama's fundamental transformation of America from going forward on schedule. And for Obama, the time for payback is now, with the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago being the flame lighting the torch of his obsessive-based revenge, leaving the happenings at Watergate to be but a footnote in history at best. And Craig, like with Obama's obsessive need for power and control, Joe Biden is on an obsessive quest of his own as he tries to prove to both his puppet master and the party loyal that he will garner the votes needed for his party to remain in the White House at least until 2028.
It's one thing to garner votes, because when you garner votes, you're kind of earning them. I mean, that kind of goes hand in hand. But it's a whole different ballgame when you can't garner votes and you resort to buying votes.
Yes. And to that effect, Joe Biden's latest focus was on college graduates and current college students who are still paying or have just begun paying off their student loans. Student loan forgiveness, he calls it, a now followed through campaign promise made to address what he still calls the, quote, burden of student debt. And Biden thinks he can buy these young adults' votes for a mere $10,000 deduction in the balance of their loan payments due, with a $20,000 deduction in a few select cases. But what Biden has actually done is not to forgive, as in cancel out those debts, but to shift debt payments over to we, the American taxpayer, an additional monetary burden put on those of us already burdened with inflation costs, skyrocketing prices on almost all goods and services, debts we must now pay to a tune upwards of $1 billion, debts incurred by others. And Joe Biden could care less, no matter that this particular debt forgiveness would most assuredly translate into increased spending, which in turn would increase overall demand and thus inflation. And that was a quote, as per Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary and Harvard University President Emeritus. And numerous other leading economists echo those very sentiments as well, including those attached to the Bipartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, who stated that not only would, quote, $10,000 of debt cancellation add a 0.15% to one common measure of inflation, the personal consumption expenditure, or PCE, price index, with a compounding effect over time, but that debt cancellation would also boost near-term inflation for more than the IRA will lower it, end quote. No truer words spoken, nor more grievous action taken than Joe Biden's twisting the meaning and the intent of an act of Congress in an attempt to try to justify what in reality is unjustifiable. Citing the HEROES Act of 2003, an act designed for members of the military who were volunteering to sacrifice their lives after 9/11, coupled with the Secretary of Education having been given, quote, expansive authority to alleviate the hardship that federal student loan recipients may suffer as the result of a national emergency, has the White House claiming that said law does apply to Biden's debt forgiveness program because COVID falls under the guise of being a national emergency. But canceling student debt loans, in my opinion, no longer fits that questionable criteria because COVID is now endemic, not pandemic in nature. So while Biden tries to fool himself into believing that COVID remains a national emergency, simply it is not. And with no emergency present, there was no need to give those who balk at paying back educational loans any form of debt forgiveness at all. And why, Craig? Because these are loans they themselves willingly took out and agreed in writing to pay back, no matter how long it takes.
Now, it's not all doom and gloom here, right? I mean, there is a little bit of a bright spot in this. How are students reacting to this?
Well, while many of those who are in the process of paying off their debt loans are cheering what Biden has done, many others want no part of it. For not only do they take personal responsibility for debts that are rightfully theirs, but they are smart enough to see Biden's now created precedent as being akin to entitlements. Entitlements whose moral cost is more than they are willing to pay. To them I say thank you, for it gives me hope that our country is not yet truly lost. And to that effect, I'd like to present to my readers and listeners something else, something related that might just give you a pause to think, and it too is education and monetarily related. We unfortunately all know that our public education system is still rife with the liberal indoctrination. Yet parents are now coming forward and starting to fight back. To them, kudos must go out, for those strong of character can accomplish what was once thought impossible. And so too can common sense solve a problem weighing heavily on the minds of many, especially as money's become exceedingly tight, with inflation now at a 40-year high and showing no signs of relief in sight. And here I speak of school property taxes, something we all pay to support our nation's public school system. And while taxes are a given, not unlike birth and death, there is a fairer way to shoulder the burden of what are becoming exceedingly high school property taxes. If one has a child of school age, one should indeed be paying school property taxes, whether the school their child attends is public or private in nature, and be paying said taxes from kindergarten through grade 12. However, it's my opinion that said tax burden should be marked paid in full when all children in one's family have graduated from high school, for at this point one is actually now paying for someone else's child's education. And while school boards are always pleading for money, many times justified, many times not, the act of educating children is an ongoing renewable process, for as one generation graduates, the next generation enters the school system. And by that I mean as one child exits the system, another child enters to take a child's place, with a new family now paying school property taxes, as they should be, a break-even scenario on depending on where one lives. But why should folks whose children are now grown, why should senior citizens whose children now have children of their own, or why should those never having had children be forced and burdened to pay for life for a service no longer or never needed? Maybe we the people would be better served if Biden and crew dealt with an issue like this, especially in these monetarily hard times, instead of giving a monetary break to a select few that really do not deserve it. And with that, I say, case closed.
You know, it seems to me, Diane, that the people that are jumping up and down for joy, because they're going to get 10, maybe $20,000 of their student debt paid for by somebody else are those that are actually majoring in college or universities in leeching off of others.
Or gender studies.
Well, same thing.
They're really big in that.
I mean, same thing, you know. You look at all the people that have done it the right way, people that have gone to college, gotten good degrees and paid back their student loans, mm-hmm. or are in the process of paying back their student loans, working hard, maybe two jobs to do that. You look at people who got a vocational education. You know, they learn plumbing or welding or automotive repair or airplane repair. You
things know, I mean, we need.
Yeah, the yes. You know, construction, you know, whatever the case may be, manufacturing of some sort, whatever it is. You know, they're out there working their asses off to pay for somebody else's gender studies degree. Really?
Yeah. And how about the parents who paid for the education while their kids were in school and are still helping them, having to pay off loans? And, you know, public universities and colleges, they can only raise their tuitions, you know, just so much. But what about we parents who sent our kids to the nation's top universities?
Well, look,
our debts are triple.
Well, yeah.
Quadruple.
Well,
what public education debts are, and yet we're all still paying it.
Well, it's all, that's your own fault. I mean, if you hadn't had kids that were so damn brilliant, they would have gone to a vocational school and learned how to stack beans.
I'm talking about the general.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You know, those people who, you know, whose kids are smart enough to get into a top college in the country for a very specialized situation, mm-hmm. you know, those parents have nobody to blame but themselves. I mean, they insisted their kids pay attention in school and actually learn stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and so, yeah, they're going to pay a higher tuition. Look, here's the deal. As bad as doing this $10,000 or $20,000 deal is, it's even made worse by the fact that they're basing it on the HEROES Act.
Yeah, and that's a slap in the face to true American heroes. Every single one of them. People who put their lives on the line. People who came back from war and got educational loans so they can start their life, you know, civilian life again. He had the nerve to use an act for them and throw COVID into the mix as a national emergency.
I know.
That is an insult.
It's an insult on top of an insult and a slap in the face. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Now, folks, if you want to see this article, and trust me, you do, because there's a lot of information in here, you can go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or you can go to rspradio1.com. Either place you can get the link. Either place you can share the link from there. Okay, but one of the main reasons that I want people to go and check out this particular op-ed that you've written, Diane, is because in it, you've got a link to the HEROES Act. So what I want people to do is a little bit of homework on their own, okay? Go hit the link, read through it. You might have to read through it several times, but read through it and see if you can figure out how they get this money squeezed out of that act. I don't see it. I don't understand it. And I guarantee you, you have to be more crooked than a corkscrew to use the HEROES Act to fund this.
You know what it's actually doing? It's a slap in the face to those who wore our nation's uniform. And I'm also talking first responders.
Yep.
You know, after 9/11, they're in this act as well. It is a slap in the face to them. It's a slap in the face to every American lost that day.
You know, the pandemic came from China. The panic over it was manufactured in the Biden White House and in the liberal halls of Congress or in liberal school districts and liberal states and liberal cities. Okay.
Thanks to Fauci. Mm-hmm.
The whole situation with COVID was actually made worse by what the liberals did.
Yes.
Okay, but it's not an emergency, especially not now.
No, not at all. It's endemic in nature, and what that means is it's like the flu and the common cold. It might be around forever, but it's going to eventually become a common cold, something you've called it all along, Craig.
Right, the uncommon cold.
The uncommon cold.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no longer the harbinger of death like it was in the beginning. And folks, that's something else now we do have to worry about, thanks to them, because it has now been proven that those shots that everybody rolled up their sleeves and rushed to get, not me. It's changing people's DNA.
Well, look, here's...
Don't believe me? Google it.
Yeah, look it up. Look it up. Mm-hmm. Do your homework, folks. Here's the thing. Here's the thing you got to keep in mind when it comes to all of this. The kids that were hurt by all the COVID absurd regulations that were foisted on us over and over ad nauseum by mm-hmm. liberals are the kids that are in kindergarten, grade school, middle school, and high school today.
Yeah.
The loan forgiveness is for people who have finished college.
Yeah.
Holy crap. How can you use something that affected little kids now for people who are out of college?
Well, remember, this is the generation that thinks everything is owed to them.
Right.
Thanks to the Democrats. Thanks to their parents being woke. Thanks to liberalism in general. Mm. This generation, not all, of course, but this particular generation has their hands out for their share of free stuff.
Well,
and it's a disgrace.
This adds to it. And, you know, nothing's free. Everything has to be paid for. This is being paid for by hardworking Americans.
Right.
Plain and simple.
And, yep. It's a shame.
You know, if you're out there driving a truck, you're paying for this.
And why shouldn't children, if they're going to do this fairly, why shouldn't children that went to vocational schools get some monetary
right.
help? They had to pay for their educations.
Right. I mean, this thing stinks from the ground up and in both directions.
Well, the Democrats are elitists. You know, those people are beneath us.
It's a fact.
That's what it seems like. That's the message they're sending.
That's right. That's right. You know, if you went and got a real education, if you went out and got yourself a job and you're a hardworking American, maybe you're working yourself up in whatever company that you went to work for. Maybe you started your own company.
Right.
Okay. You're living the American dream. The American dream right. doesn't have anything to do with other people paying off your student loans.
No. This thing with the student loans is pure vote, trying to, you know, garner more votes.
Buying them.
And I got news for you, $10,000 in the scope of things is going to pay off very little.
Right, but
interest rates, remember, folks.
Think how many six-packs and bags of Doritos you can buy for 10 grand.
Very few nowadays.
Well, yeah, it's less than it used to be, I guarantee you. But folks, go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Go to rspradio1.com. Either place, you can get the link to this op-ed, and we hope you share it everywhere you can. From Mar-a-Lago to Debts Canceled, Obsession Personified. That's the title you're looking for. It's a good op-ed, and there's a lot of information. And believe me, this is only the tip of the iceberg. This starts out at $10,000. Maybe if you get $20,000, believe me, this will not be the end of it.
No. No, it will not.
Sad to say,
because
but true.
Pretty soon we're going to be sending illegals to Harvard.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. They're not qualified, but that doesn't matter.
Right. Oh, and by the way, if I keep hearing that idiot mayor from Chicago.
Oh, God.
Sending the illegals to Chicago is racist. against the Hispanic race. Here's a little lesson for Lori Lightfoot. Hispanic is not a race. All the word Hispanic means is someone whose mother tongue is Spanish. She's that stupid, folks.
Well, you know, kids that are getting their student debts paid for by other people's hard-working money, they don't know that.
No.
They don't know that.
No. It gets better and better, doesn't it?
It does. Folks, we made it to the top of the hour. That means we've got one more segment to go. Take a top of the hour break here, get a couple of station IDs in. And when we come back, I'm talking about Gaslighting America, Part 1. Stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hey guys, Diane Sorry from the Patriot Factor on the patriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, getting you through the Tuesday night edition of the show. Just one more segment to go. If you miss any part of it, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and presto, you become a pod person.
Okay.
That's the way it works. All right. So, you know, I've kind of been watching little details about what's been going on in this country over the past couple of weeks and couple of months, and I started putting together a piece and commentary for my blog at thenationalpatriot.com, and I had so much information I could not squeeze it all into one commentary. I had to make it into two.
Oh, okay.
So tonight we're covering Gaslighting America, Part 1. Next Tuesday on this show, we'll do Gaslighting America, Part 2. But here's what we got for tonight. Trump supporters have been called lots of things by liberals since the opening of the 2016 presidential campaign. The problem for liberals is all of the labels they've attached to conservatives have everything to do with the actions and behaviors of liberals and nothing to do with the actions or behaviors of conservatives. Hillary Clinton called Trump supporters a basket of deplorables. Hillary went on to say, the racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. And unfortunately, there are people like that, and he has lifted them up. Naturally, the mainstream propaganda media latched on to all those absurd labels and became the label-calling parrots of the DNC in an effort to gaslight American voters. But it did not stop there. The Biden DOJ labeled parents who want to say in their children's education and show up at local school board meetings as domestic terrorists. Trump himself has been falsely labeled as everything from a white supremacist to a Russian agent, and his supporters have been labeled as Nazis and extremists. A few months ago, Biden tried out a new label, Ultra MAGAs, but it just didn't really catch on. Now, last week, he came up with a new one, semi-fascist. And once again, the mainstream media propagandists are squawking like parrots. Diane, the same mainstream propaganda media machine has also gone so far as to try and label Trump supporters as being more dangerous than Al-Qaeda, and liberals at large refer to Trump supporters as insurrectionists for what took place on January 6, 2021 at the nation's capital.
Well, I can think of a few type of people that truly fit the definition of insurrectionists, and nothing is happening to them at all.
You're right. The Party of Liberals has championed domestic terrorist outfits like the BLM and Antifa. While they occupied and burned cities and businesses to the ground, they've advocated for the defunding of police departments, and they stood by while their Soros bought and paid for attorneys general released violent criminals back into the streets to commit more violent crimes. And Trump supporters are the insurrectionists? Trump supporters are the domestic terrorists? Trump supporters are the semi-fascists? While the manufactured COVID pandemic was taking place and while Trump supporters dared to speak, what we now know is the absolute truth regarding the pandemic and the vaccines, liberals started referring to Trump supporters as a death cult. The former liberal governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, sent COVID-positive patients into nursing homes when he had hospital ships in his harbor sitting empty, thus killing thousands of the elderly living in those nursing homes. And Trump supporters are a death cult? How many innocent Afghan citizens have been murdered as a result of Biden's surrender to the Taliban? Not to mention 13 American military members. And Trump supporters are a death cult? The Party of Liberals champions abortions, and in many cases, abortion up to the moment of birth. But Trump supporters are the death cult? MSNBC strategist Ferdinand Armandi, responding or regarding the Democrat Party voters being dissatisfied with Biden's policies, said recently, Diane, there is no alternative right now because the Republican Party today is a fascist authoritarian project.
Yeah, so it seems. But, you know, Biden and his crew of miscreants and thugs have done a lot more than just that. Things that affect us on a daily basis.
Absolutely. I mean, they're calling the... Oh, I'm getting a terrible echo here. They're calling the Republican Party a fascist authoritarian project. The Biden regime locks down businesses, locks kids out of schools, forces mass mandates, kicks men and women out of the military for refusing to be vaxxed, orders the spying on a sitting president, gins up phony FISA warrants, launches not one but two phony impeachments, buries the Hunter Biden laptop story, orders big tech and social media to banish anyone who disagrees with their false narrative regarding COVID or dares to mention Hunter's laptop, and is now forcing taxpayers, many of whom never attended college, to pay off student loans. And Trump supporters are a fascist authoritarian project. Joe and Jill Biden, along with Tony Fauci, Mr. Science himself, have all contracted COVID-19 after being double vaxxed and double boosted, And yet, in Washington, D.C., the mayor has mandated that unvaxxed children are not allowed in schools and that there will be no Zoom classes this year. And the party of liberals have banned Novak Djokovic from playing tennis in the U.S. because he remains unvaxxed, but they allow millions of illegal aliens across our southern border unvaxxed, and Trump supporters are the fascist authoritarian project. Since the Obama regime, the party of liberals has weaponized the IRS to crush conservatives, allowed the IRS's Lois Lerner to destroy evidence of their targeting, allowed Hillary Clinton to bleach bit her illegal private server, including 33,000 emails, and destroy phones and hard drives with hammers, and Trump supporters are a fascist authoritarian project. In April of this year, MSNBC's Donnie Deutsch said that Republicans were the party of knuckleheads, weirdos, and freaks. The party of liberals advocate for the gender mutilation of children. They want drag queens to read stories to kindergartners. They're championing parents who take little children to drag shows and allow those children to put money into the underwear of drag queens. They champion having biological males shower with biological girls, and they believe having biological males compete against biological females is fair. And Trump supporters are the party of knuckleheads, weirdos, and freaks. The party of liberals can't even define the word woman. They believe that men can get pregnant and have periods. They insist that tampon dispensers be placed in boys' bathrooms. And Diane, have you seen the Biden regime's Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Office of Spent Fuel and Waste Deposition, Sam Brenton?
Well, let's put it this way. I've seen the picture you put in your article. But, you know, along those lines, there's also that, what is the he, she, an admiral or something? The one you see on the news a lot.
Rachel Levine.
Rachel Levine.
Yep. That's what it calls itself now.
I call it a he, she.
I know. I mean, oh my God. The party of liberals believe there are more than 100 different genders, including a gender they list as a jar of mayonnaise. Yep, that's correct. A jar of mayonnaise. A Tumblr account, Gender Fluid Support, posted a list of some 113 gender classifications, and they did that back in 2015. And before it was all said and done, the party of liberals had adopted a jar of mayonnaise as a gender classification. The ensuing squabble on Tumblr included a meme that simply stated, "No, Patrick, mayonnaise is not a gender." And the party of liberals immediately labeled anyone who doesn't believe that a jar of mayonnaise is a gender as transphobic. And Trump supporters are the party of knuckleheads, weirdos, and freaks. So why are the liberals projecting their own actions, beliefs, and ideology onto Trump supporters? Well, simply, it's because they have zero accomplishments on which to run their own campaigns in 2022 or in 2024. They ended American energy independence. They have ushered in record high inflation. They're jacking up taxes to pay for their socialist agenda. They're about to sick 87,000 new IRS agents on the American people. Their COVID response was built on lies, and it has failed at an epic level. They've surrendered to terrorist organizations in Afghanistan, and they have surrendered our standing on the world stage. Liberals under Joe Biden have taken up the cause of Iran. They're beholden to China, afraid of Putin, and they're willfully allowing our country to be invaded from the southern border. The green energy debacle they champion is destroying Europe's economic situation. They want to do the same thing here. Liberals would rather protect criminals than law-abiding citizens, including their own constituents. They condemn the police. their system of indoctrination in our nation's children, in our nation's schools, has been exposed due to their own locking students out of classrooms. And Diane, they have weaponized our nation's intel and law enforcement agencies and the Department of Justice against American citizens.
Well, the ones, there's a particular group of American citizens that all this nonsense is hurting the most.
Well, that's very true. Everything they claim is a victory in Congress by executive decision is actually hurting the American working class. Those policies have wiped out people's retirement savings, and more Americans than ever before are working two or three jobs just to make ends meet while barely living paycheck to paycheck. Trump supporters, on the other hand, can hang their hats on the bane of liberal existence: President Trump's America First policies. Policies that created record GDP growth, record high employment, record high wages, record high entrepreneurial expansion, and record high minority employment and wages. Trump's America First policies made the U.S. energy independent and a net exporter of energy. Those policies took on trade with China and other countries to our advantage, strengthened our military, made NATO members pay their fair share for defense, ended our capitulation to Iran, put Russia on notice, stood strong against North Korea, and brought a new peace and stability to the Middle East through the Abraham Accords. Trump stood strong for law and order, stood strong for our constitutional rights, stood strong for economic development, and brought businesses back to the U.S., including manufacturing, that had fled the liberal tax policies as part of the Obama-Biden regime. Think about it. What do liberals have to run on in 2022 and 2024? They can't run on sky-high energy costs or ceding our energy needs to countries that don't like us. They can't run on jacking up taxes or having 87,000 new IRS agents descending on working-class Americans like a plague of locusts. They can't run on their surrender in Afghanistan. They can't run on their failed and proven lies regarding COVID. And they can't run on recent high inflation, all of which are debacles of their own making. Diane, can they run on being tough on crime? No. Can they run on upholding our constitutional rights? Nope. Can they run on their record of transparency or their record of holding our nation's enemies accountable for their activities? Certainly not. They can't even run on standing for the sovereignty of our country because they're giving that away at the rate of millions of illegal aliens every year.
Well, you know the old saying about turnabout blame? I think it's kind of coming back on them, and in the end will be their demise.
Well, you're probably right. I hope you are. Look, the only thing liberals and their mainstream media propagandists can do at this point is project their own failures onto Trump supporters in a desperate effort to gaslight their own voter base. The problem for the liberals is more and more of their voter base is having a personal experience with their party's failed agenda and freedom-crushing policies. That means that fewer and fewer of them are susceptible to being gaslighted. Conservatives running for office right now and those who plan to run in 2024 must highlight the positive accomplishments of Trump's America First policies and contrast those directly with the failed policies of liberalism. Conservatives must make the case that liberals are what they accuse Trump supporters of being, and they must use the contrast of the policies and results to make the case clearly visible and personal to the voters. The question of, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago, must be asked again. The majority of liberal voters do not want Biden to run in 2024, and it's up to conservatives to remind those voters that it's the policies and the party, not the candidate, that's causing them pain. As for conservative voters, let the liberal projections of their own failures onto Trump supporters drive you to the polls this November and again in 2024. Do not allow yourselves to become complacent. Do not allow yourselves to bend to softening your approach, and do not allow the liberal machine, complete with their own propaganda arm in the mainstream media, to control the conversation. When the liberals get loud, get louder. When the liberals push, push back harder. And when the liberals start gaslighting, light the match of truth and let it blow up in their faces. MAGA means Make America Great Again. And step one in that process is to win back the Senate and the House this November. And we do that by drawing attention directly to the liberal policies and candidates that are destroying our country. If we don't tell the truth louder than they tell the lies, we will surely snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And that is the bottom line.
That is the bottom line. If we stay complacent and think, oh, we're just going to take this election, remember three words: Dominion voting machines. Folks, they're still in use. I'm sure they're still not kosher, as we say. And remember something very important. It's not who casts the vote that's important. It's who counts the vote.
And that's why we need to have people in every place that is counting votes. We need to have eagle-eyed people that understand the law, know what's going on, and won't let the shenanigans happen again. And if the liberals try to shove them out the door, as they did in 2020, those people need to stand strong. I don't care if they have to chain themselves together. They have to call federal authorities. Like, that's going to help at this point. But they've got to do everything they can not to be forced to leave where the ballot counting is going on.
Exactly. I remember when I was a poll watcher and I made them show me the tape of the feed that goes through. And they were like, what do you need to see it? I want to see that you started with zero. I want to see the number at the end and how many people were actually here to vote. And that's what every poll watcher needs to do. Those numbers must coincide.
Well, and there's something else, too, that's very important. You and I saw it because we were covering the 2020 election right here on Right Side Patriots. And we saw numbers for Donald Trump actually going down.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you count the votes, and we'll use simple numbers so that even liberals can understand this. Okay, so you've counted 10 votes so far for candidate A. Then the next round, candidate A doesn't have 10 votes. Candidate A has 6. How does that happen?
How does it happen? With the software and the machines that allow votes to be changed.
If this was a bingo game, your card would be filled in.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, that's exactly right. You know, and that's why we've got to have poll watchers at every place that ballots are being counted. And if they tell you to get out, stand your ground.
You call the police.
Yeah. You know, now in blue states, in blue cities, calling the police probably isn't going to help you a whole lot. But bear in mind, the police unions back Trump. The police unions back the conservative.
And here's another thing. Bring your cell phones with you, folks. Seriously. And if you see anything going on, video it.
Document it immediately.
I don't know the legalities for each particular state, but what are they afraid of?
Right, exactly. And I guarantee you, there will be screaming liberals in these places that try to take your cell phone away. Don't let them.
Absolutely.
Don't let them.
Yep. It's, well, let's just say Craig and I will be covering election night up until the very end. And I think, Craig, our record stands pretty well because we've called every single election since we've been on air before the main talking heads have.
Well, and even the 2020 election, we were able to call it before the talking heads did. We didn't like it, but right. We saw the trend of what was happening, and we knew what was coming.
Right. But we knew what was coming from day one. Once we found out about the Dominion machines, we knew.
Yep. So, I mean, November 8th this year, Diana and I will be right here. We'll be covering every aspect of it. We'll be looking for the red wave. We'll count down until we have control of the House, and hopefully we'll have control of the Senate, too. We'll see what happens.
Right. It's all we can do, folks. The main thing is Republicans have to get out and vote. Don't do any early voting if you can help it.
Right.
Don't do any mail-in ballots if you can help it. Flood the polls on election night because they cannot shut them down if you're in line at that time. They can't turn you away. They have to keep the polls open. Get out there and vote.
It's going to be an interesting election. Now, I know as of today, right here in my state of Nebraska, we've got voter ID on the ballot coming up on November 8th.
Well, in Florida, again, we're such a great state, we have to show voter ID, and we've had to do that for years.
And you
should. What is wrong with showing ID? And another thing, guys, if you can, after you pencil in or punch the holes or however your state works, take a photo of your ballot.
Yep. Do it. Do it. And we'll talk more about these things as we get closer to election night.
Yes, so, of course.
You'll have a refresher course on it, folks, from your old pals here at Right Side Patriots.
Yes.
The title on this particular commentary is Gaslighting America Part 1. Now, that means come next Tuesday, it'll be Gaslighting America Part 2. I've gotten a lot of comments on social media. People love part one of this thing. They love the examples. But I'll tell you, and Diane knows because she has a sneak preview of part two, if you think I've got a bunch of examples of the gaslighting of America in this commentary that we just covered on this show, wait till you get a load of what I've got for part two.
Right. And I'm sort of doing, it's not a companion article per se, but it works very well with what Craig is going to present because there's a little possibility. It's small, but something you cannot put past the Democrats.
Exactly. You don't want to miss next Tuesday's show. Okay, so you can get my commentary tonight at thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. Either way, you can grab the link, you can share it everywhere, and then stand by for part two. Now, Diane, we only got a couple of minutes left, and before we go tonight, I really want to thank, once again, Mudar Zakharov for being on the show last Friday. And folks, if you missed that, if you wonder what's going on in the Middle East, and you wonder how the Middle East ties into the rest of the world, you need to go to rspradio1.com. Click the podcast button and listen to that show with Mudar.
And we'll be having him on again.
He is one of the greatest guests. Nobody knows more about what's happening in the Middle East than Mudar Zakharov. And if you don't know, if you're new to the show, Mudar Zakharov is the Secretary General of the Jordanian Opposition Coalition. They're trying to replace the King of Jordan by peaceful means with a secular elected government. And that would be a huge step in the right direction for stability and peace in the Middle East.
And one thing Mudar knows, and Mudar is a Palestinian, but he knows something very important that Craig and I have been saying all along. The Palestinians are Jordanians. Their homeland is Jordan, but Hussein doesn't want them because he doesn't want to take care of them.
That's exactly right. Folks, go do yourselves a favor. Go listen to that show. But with that, Diane, you and I have run out of time for tonight.
Yes, time for Star Trek.
Say goodnight, Diane.
Nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great week. We'll catch up to you on Friday. Bye-bye.